Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Good morning, everybody. How are we? Welcome to Save the Cowboy. My name is Kevin Weatherby, and if this is... my name is Kevin Weatherby. No, I know. And we won't go into other specifics, but no, my name is Tyler Lowe, and I'm the executive director of this ministry. And if this is your first time, I just want to welcome you in. We're a local ministry here in Kiowa, Colorado, and we're happy to be here. So for those of you that don't know me or haven't heard me preach, you know me, having this mic is very handicapping to me, because if there's one thing I love to do when I get on the stage to preach is to talk with my hands. That's what Jesus did. So, but no, welcome this morning. It's going to be a unique service. As we said last service, we finally gave our boss man a little sabbatical. So Kevin's going to be gone for 6 weeks, and we have to kind of figure out what we're going to do. So we got to run out the clock situation. But I'm actually really, really excited today, because we're going to be able to hear a couple testimonials. A big thing for me when I kind of took over as executive director was getting to know our people, getting to know our community. I want our church to be out there and for people to know what we're doing. And in order to do that, I think we have to know each other. We have to love each other. We have to go out and be with each other, support each other, all of those things. And I couldn't think of a better way to do that than to ask a couple people that we know, people that have given themselves to this ministry and just donate so much time for free to tell you guys their story. I think that's a super big thing. It's a very biblical thing. And in all honesty, it's a very tough thing. Like everybody here, and we're going to do this for a couple of weeks, broken up by a couple sermons as well. But everybody that gets up on the stage, I have so much respect for, because believe it or not, it is not easy. It is not easy to get up and public speak, for one, but it's so much harder to get up and speak about your life or how God has affected your life and tell your story and be vulnerable with each other. So I hope you guys are as excited about that as I am, but I'm really pumped to hear our stories. Mixed in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some of our staff members talk. We're going to have some of our staff members preach, but everybody, and it goes for all of you, but everybody that is going to get up here is so near and dear to all of our hearts and what we do. So I just want to take a second to pray, and then we're going to get into our testimonials. Lord, we thank you for just this wonderful day, this wonderful building to gather, and the wonderful stories that you've given us, Lord. We have so much experience in here, and we have so many people that have been through so many things. And to just be able to worship you by telling our stories is such a gift, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that your spirit just fills this room, and that people are energized by each other's stories and are just motivated to hear these stories and go out and tell their own, Lord. You say in Psalms that we praise you by telling our stories, and that it refreshes our soul, Lord. That's going to be my prayer today, is that this is just a soul refreshing thing for our church. It's a little different. It's a little out there. But thank you just for the brave people that are going to get up here and proclaim your name by telling their stories. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So I want to introduce our first person, but before we do that, you can come up, Willie. I have to give Willie a shout out, man. If you don't know Willie, which if you don't, you probably live under a rock, but Willie is such a benefit to what we do. I remember Sunday evening service asking Willie to do literally anything, and Willie would come and help in the drop of a dime. He'll pick up our trailer, he sets up, he gets up here and talks. Like, literally anything that we ask of Willie, it's a yeah, I'm in. You know, and I remember Sunday evening service, Willie getting up or coming to Sunday evening service, staying late to help us pack up, and then having to get up at work at 3:30 in the morning. That's the kind of servant's heart that Willie has. So if you guys would welcome Willie in, he's going to tell our story. So Willie Colby.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, good morning. Thank you, everybody. I don't know. I've been up here a few times and gave sermons and kind of led Bible studies and what have you. So Mitch kind of asked me if I wanted to give my testimonial, and of course, you know, I'm happy to do it. I've always kind of put my testimonial into some of my sermons and some of the things that I do. So me, most of you that know, I love Google. And if you ask me to do something, I'm going to Google it first. So he said, hey, we want you to give a testimonial. So I was like, all right. He kind of told me his rundown on what a good testimonial is. And I was like, well, I'm going to Google it and see what Google wants me to do. So according to Google, their definition is, what was your life like before Christ? Well, if most of you knew my childhood growing up, it was fun. what did you do to try and change? What led you to Christ and how to trust Jesus? And what does it mean to know him now? How has God met your needs? What part of your relationship with God are you most grateful for? So seriously, that's the Google example of what a good testimonial is. Now, like I said, as I've stood up here before and I've given my sermons and the Bible studies and what have you, my life before Christ, man, I tell you what, it was that. It was 38 years of let's do whatever we can possibly do and keep the police from bothering you too much. And by mean that was, you know, sometimes you had to run. And that was my life, man. I had a couple kids, got married a couple times. But life was my life, you know. Even though I had kids and I had a wife or two and family life, like I was so selfish that it was just, it was hard to have a relationship, have a wife, have kids. I mean, my kids hated me for a while. They really, he's kind of looking around like, that whole being selfish thing, man, that really, it was all about me and care, but my care factor was, you know, the boys' mom was a stay-at-home mom. Like, she took care of the boys. I showed up when I got home from work, you know, and I did whatever I could do, and I did whatever I wanted to do. As long as I flew under the radar with the popo, I was good. You know, drinking, partying, you know, just hardly ever around. You know, I look back and I regret every minute of it. I really do. But man, I tell you what, with all that fun and doing whatever I wanted to do and being selfish, man, it did. It took a toll on two marriages. It really did. My first wife, the boys' mom, like I thought I had it in the bag. Like I thought I'd met the woman of my dreams. She took care of the kids, raised them. You know, I was there. But not being there as a husband and as a good person, that took a toll. And I didn't really realize at the time how much that affected family life. During that time of being selfish, I got served my first set of divorce papers. It was tough. With a divorce, you know, you start worrying about whether you're going to see your kids again or not. I got a little ill, and I needed to go seek some serious medical attention. So I had went and got some medical help. They gave me some pills, kind of help ease the pain. Man, I took them for about a month, and it was just something snapped, and I was just done. But the problem is, I guess when I had snapped and I was just done, it took me into a darker place. Like I was happy, but man, it was just don't trigger me. Like I just had this dark evil inside of me. It was weird. I don't know how to really explain it. Divorce comes and goes, and I've ended up getting 50-50 custody of Jake and Zach. I thought I was doing pretty good for about a year or so, and then I met the second wife. We dated for years before we decided to get married. And I had thought that in my darkness and in my self-healing that I had kind of fixed myself and things were going to be better. You know, I found the second love of my life, and man, things were good. We finally got married. She had some kids. They, you know, our kids all kind of meshed. It took a little while, but we all started to mesh. Had a nice house together, you know, a place to raise a family. Stuff kind of went downhill. We ended up losing our place in the Meadows. We kind of separated for, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. Well, in that 6 month period of time, when you're not actively like with your wife or whatever, you kind of just start to develop bad habits again. And I started developing bad habits, and we finally got another place together. But we had pretty much five teenagers and two adults and a three-bedroom condo. And for me, I'm always kind of, I got to be out in the garage tinkering. I got to have something to keep me entertained or I start to go stir crazy. Well, I don't think we even made it a year in that condo before it was just enough. I ended up moving out. And during that time, my mom had passed away. And that's my first time I met Kevin and got involved with the church. Kevin officiated my mom's service, and he just spoke to me at the service. You know, I was just like, okay, this is what I need. So I show up to church and kind of, you know, I was just a butt in the seat, did my thing. And there's just that feeling like I had more. There was something else I needed to do. And Kevin just come up to me out of the blue. You know, I was always helping out first thing in the morning. And he's like, hey, I need you to start running the camera. And if you want, you can be a little more helpful around the church. And I was like, sure, whatever you need, just I'll do it. And lo and behold, after, I don't know, a few years of standing behind the camera, it started to click. And a buddy of mine, he asked me if I wanted to start a nonprofit. And we have the Dads Elbert County. Most of you guys kind of heard about it. We started that, and I kind of went from that selfish phase of my life to being selfless. I started giving back to the community. Like, it wasn't about me anymore. It was about helping others. And when I was doing it, I kind of had that sense of a tie to Christ, and what I was doing was Christ-like and it was for Christ. But at the same time, the guys that I have weren't really, they're not Christians. You know, they believe, but they're not Christians. So it's kind of that hard bridge to try and cross with them. I'm like, listen, what we're doing here is Christ-like. You guys need to understand that. And a couple of them finally kind of came out, and they're like, no, like, we go to church. We just didn't know how to explain it and how to get it out in front of everybody. So after a while, we only got one guy on our board he doesn't go to church, but he's got his faith. And with that faith, it's a lot of, it's helped me to just kind of let go. I still have my dark moments. I still have my dark times. But it's not there like it used to be. I have a calling now. And I don't know if it's up here in front of you guys, helping the community. I started becoming certified as a life coach. And the reason why I started that is a few of the people in here and some friends and stuff like that have come up to me and had that one-on-one conversation and wanted help, wanted guidance, but didn't know who to go to. Now, Mitch is a counselor. I'm like that next step down where I can't really tell you how to fix your life, but I can kind of help you along with your life. So it was just that I feel like that's my calling. I've had a personal life coach. I had it for about 6 months, and it kind of got some of them, those demons out of the way, and was able to help me along. So I figured, you know, I needed to give back. And that's how I started to really think I was headed that direction with everything, with ministry and everything that I do. That life coach was my calling. I know I don't have enough time in the day to be a licensed psychiatrist or a therapist or what have you, but that life coach I could do in my spare time. And the tools that I have learned through all this online study and the pamphlets and the books and all that other stuff, it really helps me. It's not so much that it's helping you guys just yet. It's just the cool stuff that I've learned along the way to help myself. And a lot of it is biblical. That's the coolest thing. If you put a lot of the stuff that I've learned with the life coach, you can put it all into biblical stuff. It's all Christian beliefs if you look at it. And it might not be the exact word, and it might not be scripture, but it's Christ-like. Well, you know, going out and helping others, it's Christ-like. And that's what I feel like my calling really is to be here for you guys and for everybody else in the community, whoever else. And I couldn't have done it without finally just taking that initiative to just give my life to Christ. Now, the cool part about once I finally got baptized and kind of started figuring out my life, this was literally just a few years ago. My oldest boy, Jake, decided he wanted to move in with me full time. He wanted to come out here, kind of get his life together. He got baptized. I assisted in it. That was a cool feeling. Oh my gosh, to help baptize your own child was amazing. So Jake goes through, gets baptized, ends up graduating on time. I don't remember what his GPA was, but it was far exceeded what I ever thought it was going to be. But he had given his life to Christ. And he did that because of my ability to give my life to Christ and try and teach him how to live more Christ-like. Then Zach, he was kind of a different one. He was me. Wild child, just didn't care. he did not, he was the one that would actually like proclaim his anger towards me, and he didn't hold back. And finally, last summer, Zach's like, "Dad, I'm going to move in with you full time. I need to come to school out here and get stuff figured out." Same thing. In that process, I get to help baptize my son. And it was that, it's that me leading in a Christ-like manner that helped guide him. So with Zach, he was supposed to graduate a year after his senior year. Like, he was supposed to be a super senior, hang out with all of his buddies for the extra year, watch all those junior friends grow up through high school. He was supposed to do that. But since he gave his life to Christ and he came out and lived with me, and he's kind of got some stuff figured out, he's actually going to graduate a semester early. And I don't mean like a semester after the senior year. I mean a semester. He's graduating in December this year. That's the power of Christ. I mean, it really is. The cool stuff about all of this for me that I never really kind of thought about was my boys' mom. Like, her and I, man, you couldn't put us in a public place together without having something, just like there was that hate between each other. And now that lady, I can talk to her and have a full-on conversation with her, and it doesn't bother me. There's not that hate and that anger anymore. I forgave her, and things have been great. My second wife, like, her and I have never really had a problem. It was just, we couldn't be together anymore, you know? Going through the divorce with her, man, we sat down at a table in a restaurant and filled out all of our divorce paperwork, and very, very open in our communication with each other. And that second divorce was the best thing that I've ever got to accomplish in the weirdest way ever. Like, if you're divorcing somebody, usually there's some hate in there, but there wasn't. Like, I love both of my ex-wives. I really do. And it's not that kind of love, but I love them, you know, and to be able to have that open communication with my boys' mom, with my ex-wife, it's amazing. And I would not have been able to do that if it wasn't for walking through that door, getting baptized right here in front of all my friends and family. I wouldn't have been able to do that. There's just, I've always had that weird kind of anger and hatred for people. But man, it's just after taking this initiative and just following Christ, I tell you what, if you guys haven't really kind of just put yourself out there and let yourself just kind of give it to God, you don't know what you're missing. And I'm so grateful for this ministry and my church family and all my church friends. Like, you guys have really helped make me who I am. And it's an amazing feeling. And I can't thank you all enough. Tyler, thank you, sir.
Good job. Awesome job, Willie. Willie's an awesome story about just how a relationship with Christ can just bring everything together in your life. And it doesn't always work out that way. But it'll work out that way in the end. So thank you, Willie. I mean, he is just a giver, man. I love that guy. So our next person, I like to call him our most silent volunteer. A lot of what this guy does, you guys benefit from, but you never, ever see it. He's so humble, so willing to help. He's always putting himself out there financially and otherwise. But what I love about Mike Siegel, and he's about to come up here in a second, is that Mike uses what God has given him to bless this ministry. He doesn't try to do too much, and he certainly doesn't do too little. Mike does the absolute best with what God has given him. And he realizes his gifts, and he just uses those to the fullest power. And I love Mike so much for that, because so much like of our conference calls and with the Long X Ranch and all of these things that you guys do not see on a day-to-day basis, Mike is behind those. Like, Mike is my proofreader. So if I need some English done or anything that a smart person should know, Mike's that guy. So I want you guys to welcome Mike Siegel up to the stage to hear what he has to say.
Thank you, sir. Wow, where do I start? Willie, great job out there. And guys, I am getting old, so if I am, oh, wait a minute. Andy, I move around a lot. No, you know, a lot of things were said right there. So if I do lose my train of thought, I might have to put my password in because everything I do is protected in my world. Man, where do you start with a question to all of you? How did you guys all come to Save the Cowboy?
Think about it a minute. Well,
my wife and I were on the west side of town, living over on the west side of town, and we had horses, and we wanted to be by our horses. We were boarding our horses, and it was like, hey, man, we've got to get out of here. I'm a Kansas farm boy, came to Colorado from Kansas, and so about 11 years ago, we moved out to Elizabeth, and we wanted to bring all of our friends out to see where we're at. We didn't fall off the face of the earth. Everybody thought we just left and fell off the face of the earth. Now, three of our four boys, and by the way, shout out to my wife, Rita, who couldn't be here tonight or today. Mitch called on Thursday night and asked if I could give my testimonial today. And I said, yes, like Willie. We're servants. We're going to do whatever somebody asks. You ask, we'll be there. And Rita understands that about me. With my work, it's in a heartbeat. I have to go. I have to go. I may be gone for 3-4 days and things like that. But when we came out here, we wanted to bring our friends out just to show them, you know, hey, this is nice out here. You guys need to come out here and see. Get out of that city life. And so it was funny because we had a barbecue for all of our friends, you know, so I said, bring anybody. I don't care who you bring. Bring whoever you want to, if you're, you know, comfortable. So from a friend of a friend's daughter's boyfriend at the barbecue, he came up to me and he's like, hey, Mike, you guys want to come to Cowboy Church with us tomorrow? I'm like, what? Cowboy Church? That sounds kind of interesting. Rita and I weren't looking for anything. I grew up Methodist. I've been very blessed. I accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when I was 13 years old. Reaffirmed that here a couple years ago. Wanted to do that. But they asked us if we wanted to come over to Cowboy Church. And I said, so my first thing was, well, where's the church? I haven't seen this church. Oh, we don't have a church. It's at the fairgrounds. So I sat right there where all of you are sitting today. And a lady next to me had a pig on her lap. You want it up here? Oh, I can't do these. As Tyler said, I'm a hand talker. I'm a walker. So I apologize for that. So the lady's sitting there with a pig on her lap. I says, man, you can't get more real than that. All right. I didn't know I was looking for anything. I thought, man, we're fat, dumb, and happy. Well, fat. Anyway, dumb, yeah. Happy, yes. So Kevin, we kept coming. We came day after Sunday after Sunday, and Kevin would just hit me square between the eyes. It's like, Kevin, why are you talking about me every Sunday? I said, this can't be right. But he knew how to hit us all. And so in that, the thing I heard from when I came over here was, we have our bracelets, we have our logo, our mission, come and you will see. And that's powerful. When I talked to Kevin about the Long X Ranch Cowboys, our identity, I'm not a cowboy. I'm lucky today to be on one side, I've got a cowboy, on the other side, I've got a cowboy. You don't want to see Mike on a horse, all right? That's not Mike. All right, I'm a ground guy. Us Kansas farm boys, you know, we work the ground a lot. So, you know, as we kind of go through the Long X Ranch Cowboy history, as I sat here for a few years, and that was probably, well, that was 2018. All right, I was number 5. Is Brittany here today? Brittany's not here today. She was number 3. All right, I keep track of everybody, you know, across the board. Kevin was number 1. A lady named Amy Clarkson, who's now in Montana, I believe. Yeah, woo! Was number 2. Brittany was number 3. A guy from Canada was number 4. Chad Salzman. I don't know if you remember, you know, Chad. And then I was number 5, signing up. And as I sat there and I signed up, and it's like I came to Kevin and I said, well, I want to do more. This discipleship of the Long X Ranch Cowboys. you know, it sounds neat. It says, I want to learn from these cowboys. And after our trip to, what was that town? Sydney, Nebraska? On our way to Rapid City, I found out what part of my reason, what Kevin put me in charge of, being the point writer, all right? These cowboys need somebody to keep us going in the right direction and at the right speed. So it just kind of hit me the other day when we were driving up there. Lose my train of thought here. Come and you will see. It's unique. Save the Cowboy, the Long Ash Ranch Cowboys. When I went over to Kevin, that's where I was at. And I apologize. I can do some Biden things every once in a while. I don't mean to be political. Oh, and that was the other thing I was going to tell you. Where's Tyler at? Oh, yeah, my bosses would never say silent. Mike's voice is booming, you know, in the boardroom or wherever, you know, I may have to be. They know I'm going to give them an opinion. Says, hey, you asked for it. You know, you're going to get it. So when I went over to Kevin, and only as Kevin could do it, and I hope Kevin's watching today, and I know he knows his story anyway several times, I said, well, I'm not a cowboy. I mean, I don't fit into this church, all right? I don't fit into this. It says, yeah, sure you do. Kevin has that unique way of understanding where your gifts are at and what you can do. I don't need everybody, and it's the same thing I do at my work. I don't need a cookie cutter. I need a lot of different talents at work. And just because you're good at this thing, that's great, and I need somebody else can do the things you can't do. And so Kevin explained the Long X Ranch Cowboys to me, what I could do for Long X Ranch Cowboys as a cattle drive, only as Kevin could do it. He says, man, he put it into the Western terms. And he's like, I need a point rider. I need somebody who can be out front, keep us all connected, and keep us moving forward. And I says, wow, that's what I do at work. I can actually do that. So that was part of that story. And how we got here. So think about how you got here and why you got here this morning. And this is where I lose my train of thought every once in a while. My first Toastmaster speech I had to do at work, you had to do a 4-minute introduction, 11 minutes and 56 seconds. I'm still the leader in all the in all Toastmasters. They said, you have more content than... then, you know, you got enough for 6 speeches in here. So wanted to talk about our Rapid City trip, which was fun, exciting. I got to be around, you know, real cowboys. And everywhere we went, Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse, Outback, all right? I'm surrounded by men in cowboy hats. And everywhere we went, they walked in and they welcomed me as one of the cowboys. It was like, wow. So, even at Mount Rushmore, they gave me the keys to Mount Rushmore, and they told me to make sure we shut the gate when I was finished. That was kind of fun. It's very true. We crossed over Nebraska line. Christy Nome sent me a note. All right. Welcome to South Dakota. I'm like, wow. You know I'm coming, and you know I'm here. That was a really fun trip. But on that, Brad's speech or teachings about identity, knowing who you are. Well, I ain't no cowboy. Well, but in my heart, I'm a cowboy. And that identity of who we are we practicing authentic Christian values? That's what we need to be doing, you know, every day of our life. Like I say, I've been lucky. I know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been with me forever. I didn't know that until about 6 years ago. I thought it was all about me. Will, you talked about that, being about me. I did that. I've been surrounded by some great people. And then I've always had our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ there. And he reminded me of that. I'll tell you a little story as we kind of get down there. And it was very important for me to come to Save the Cowboy to hear this message, to for him to tell me in the red words. I always remember the red words. When I grew up in Kansas, the red words were like, "Hey, Mike, listen up. These are red words." All right? You need to listen to the red words. And so, but practicing that authentic Christian values is something we need to do every day. It's who we are as Christians. We need to practice that. We need to serve. We need to do those things that others don't want to do. We want to speak out. Back to the silent thing. Learning to speak out and approach people, you know, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you know what He's done to my life, my faith, my family, my friends. Those are all very, very important to me. We need to practice those every day. A little quote that I like and I use on my guys, you know, across the world. I've got friends across the world. And I use the unknown author. Somewhere someone is practicing. When they meet you in head-to-head competition, they will beat you. And I try to teach myself, my family, my work colleagues, to continue to practice, practice, practice. And I think that's what Brad is trying to tell us. We need to practice authentic Christian values every day. It's so important. And so I'll kind of get to the blunt of this. When I said, does God talk to you? Do you listen? Are you ready to listen? Are you prepared to listen? In 1993, I had some great people that I worked for who were moving on. And they gave me the reins to a lot of stuff at my work. They said, Mike, you're ready. These are yours. And I'm like, I'm not ready. I am not ready for all of this. They said, no, you're ready. And they gave me these reins of taking on some major components of our business. And they say, you're the owner and you're the operator of these. And in that, they, how do I say this from their perspective? I wanted to model myself after them. I thought, these are great people. They're smart. They're successful. They know everything. They've taught me so much. This Kansas farm boy, and says, how do I give them praise? I can't give them money. They don't need money. I can give them my respect. And I sat down one day, says, I'm gonna write him a poem. My grandfather wrote poems growing up. Only 5 minutes. I told you, 11 minutes, 56 seconds. and I apologize. And don't worry, Tyler, this is just what my bosses do, too. Said, Mike, we are having lunch. I said, no, you guys can eat while I'm talking. That's fine. So anyway, back where was I at? I sat down to write this, write him up a note. And with my grandfather's legacy of writing poems, somehow it was in here somewhere. I thought it was in here. What I later found out, it was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was actually writing these words for me. So I wrote down, I was thinking about it, and I said, I wrote the first three words, the title to the poem, My Perfect Leader. And I could not write another word, letter, or anything for the next 2 days. That's all I wrote. I think I pissed God off. I said, you wrote down my perfect leader, and you're trying to talk about people. There's only been one. There's only one that you should model your life after. There's only one that walked on this earth that you should model your life after. And he wouldn't let me write any more words that day. And then a day or so later, in 5 minutes, sat down and wrote down the poem, My Perfect Leader. And it tells me a lot about what, when people ask, well, what is it he wants me to do? What, how am I going to fit into, you know, around all these cowboys? And I'll read off the poem here to finish. How many minutes now? One, okay. All right, so that means, let's see, in mic time, that's six. Okay. So here's the poem. My perfect leader, he stands apart from the crowd. To say I follow this man, I am proud. With wisdom, confidence, strength, and power, he guides his team to that final hour. In his hands, he holds the reins of control. Yet, only when we need him does he pull. There's something about him I think we all see. A little more like him, we'd all like to be. And then one, God does talk to me a lot, most of the time, correction. Is it, what are you doing? P.S. from God to all of you, love y'all. Thank you.
I love that, Mike. You are a well-led man. So, last person I want to bring up and introduce, and obviously we all know him, but Ty is so special to what we do here. I think I was more excited, and I don't know if I should say this, but I've been telling Ty since I took over that I want to hear him up on stage more, because I get the benefit of hearing him daily or every other day or so, and getting that wisdom, and Ty is just so full of it, like of wisdom and other stuff, but Ty is so full of that wisdom and the just the spiritual guidance. And Ty is somebody that I'm not ever afraid to lean on for leadership advice, for life advice for sure, and all of that, because Ty just has such a wonderful story. And you, when you get to know that and you get to see Ty, you see why he is the man he is. He's our ranch manager. He's an amazing leader. And he is so beneficial to the operations of this ministry. We would be remiss not to have him up here. And with that, welcome Ty Weber, our ending guy.
I'm so full of it, I got two mics. Here, Tyler. Thank you. Good morning. Morning. I want to thank Willie and Mike for coming up here and taking all my time so I don't have any time to tell my story. No, thank you guys. That was awesome. Most of you know me, but if you don't, you might not know my story. My testimony is a little bit different in the fact that I can't remember the day I was saved. I grew up Catholic. As far back as I can remember, I've believed that God existed. I've known God existed. I knew that he was in my life. So I can't say a certain date, but the way I grew up, it was, I grew up Catholic. I went through all the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And I think a lot of you out here can relate. I'm not here to bash Catholicism at all. I found out it didn't work for me. And a lot of you can relate that have been surrounded by religion and it didn't really work for you that well. What I learned as a child was that God was angry at me, that I was not anywhere good enough, and that brought a lot of shame and guilt into my life, and I just, every time I left church, I felt worse. And you know, I'd take the wafer and I'd eat it and I'd be forgiven, and 2 minutes later, I'd think about a girl, and there I was. I sinned again. I'm going to hell. And it really, thinking about God being angry at me all the time actually drove me away. And I figured if I was going to hell, I was going to go in style. And I did. I didn't go to hell. But I had a lifestyle that was not conducive to following Jesus at all. I believed, but I was not a follower. I went the other way. I went away. And God has called me 3 times in my life to ministry. And the first time was in high school. He called me to the seminary and I disobeyed. I said, no freaking way. I didn't say freaking. I know, no way. Won't do it. Disobeyed God. Said no to him. He didn't strike me down with lightning that day. for disobeying. But my life went the wrong way after that. And so fast forward a while and a lot of you know my struggle with addiction. And so because of the pain of an abusive childhood, I learned how to medicate it with alcohol and got pretty good at it. My career in alcoholism was pretty spectacular. I drank enough for all of us in a short while. And that carried on into my marriage and damaged it quite a bit. And the selfishness that the other two guys talked about is pretty prevalent, I think, in all of us before we give our life to the Lord, because we think our life's all about us. And it was all about me. And it was all about taking care of myself. And I'd learned that from my dad. You take care of yourself. But God didn't ever forget about me. And I remember there was a pivotal moment in my life. It was after Kathy and I were married and after Coy was born. My dad died, and he died of alcoholism, just like my grandpa had, just like my two uncles had. And the night we buried him, I was sitting there with my uncle who was dying of alcoholism, and I was talking to him, and we were drinking. And God intervened that night. If I could say that's the day I was saved, if I could pinpoint a day, it was that night. I was talking to my uncle, and I looked into his face, and it was a transformation. And I saw death. And I heard God, as plain as I'm speaking today, tell me. He said, "You can't serve two masters. You got to choose either life or death." And he meant that spiritually, but he also meant it physically. And he said, "You got to choose." And he said, "I want you to choose me because I love you." And I'd never ever thought that God could actually loved me. I just thought he was pissed at me all the time. And that night it changed. He said, "I love you and I want you. I've been seeking you and I want you." And I set my beer down. And that was 18 years ago, and I've never picked up another one. Well, I traded alcoholism for workaholism because I needed to keep busy, and that hurt my family too. In the meantime, back up a second, a little bit, God called me a second time to ministry. While Kathy and I were married and we were living in Wyoming, and we got involved in the Catholic Church again as an adult, God called me to ministry. He said, well, once again, religion got in the way. Some terrible things with the priest and things like that drove us away again, and we went away again. And then, you know, after I got sober and we were living here in Colorado, this was about, 11 years ago now, I felt God calling me again. And it always comes around, guys. You can disobey him, but it always comes right back around. You get to go on the roundabout until you figure it out. And he called me a third time, and I told Kathy, I said, I need to find a church home. And she wasn't real ready for that yet, but I'd heard about Save the Cowboy, and I thought, you know what, it's got to be different, so I'm going to come. And I brought Coy, showed up here, sat in the way back, and I heard Kevin preach a message of love and hope and joy, and I'm like, wow, I think I can get behind this. And I went home and I asked Kathy if she'd come back. She said, "I'm not sure." And Coy said, Coy got her to come because Coy liked it. And if I've missed a Sunday since, it was only because I was off doing something for Save the Cowboy on a Sunday. And that God called me back to the ministry, called me to be involved in ministry, and I'm happy to say that being in this situation has been all the difference in the world, because through Kevin and his teaching and my church family, it softened my heart to the point where I could give up self, could could find joy in actually following the Lord, in have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time. I never knew that was available, but it's available, and it's available for each and every one of us. And I want you to know that God is seeking you, actively seeking you. And if you're not seeking him back, you're not going to be able to have that personal relationship. It's a two-way street. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to make you do anything. But he's asking. Every day he's asking you to come and be with him. I'm so grateful for him intervening in my life and saving my life that I'll do whatever. I told Kevin, I said, I'll clean toilets here. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he said, well, I need someone to run a ranch. I said, that's better. That's better. That's better. I can do that. God has given me the gifts and the skill to be able to do that. I got baptized here. It's changed my whole life. It's changed my marriage. Kathy has supported me through all of the ups and downs and the hard times. It's changed my ability to be a father to my son. Giving up self, men, is number one. Until you do that, you're going to struggle. It's not about you. God says we are to be servant leaders of our family. That means we are here to serve. That means we are to be examples of joy, forgiveness, patience, love to our families. I'm not that good at it yet, but I'm trying to get good at it, right? And it's changed everything. It's changed my marriage. It's changed all my relationships. So, like Willie said, what were you like before you were following God? Well, I was not very useful. What am I like now? A little bit more useful for God. Okay. Being able to change into a servant has allowed me to lead my family into being servants, which they are. And I'm not taking credit. God has done that in our lives, but having an example helps. And you know, we can take our experiences and these testimonials like this, and we can take them out, and we can help other people to find Jesus just like we did. And we've had a couple of tough weeks in our family. We've lost four people in our lives that went too soon, and it's hard to understand some of that. But when you have a relationship with God, it carries you through things like that, and there's always bittersweet in that. And last night in our living room, we as a family got to lead Brittany to the Lord. And she gave her life to Christ, and that's why we're here. That's why we're a church body, is to be able to do that. So I'm just real grateful to be here, and thank you to all of you who've been here with me, and all you who will be here in the future to come. Thank you guys.